Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
We're in Galatians chapter 6.
Yay!
Right? I think we're in chapter 5 for probably 14 weeks. There's a lot in there. Love, joy, peace, right? Galatians chapter 6. You know, late one summer evening in Broken Bow, Nebraska, a weary truck driver pulled his rig into an all-night truck stop. He was there and the waitress served him. And as he was eating his breakfast, three tough, rough bikers, leather jackets, Hell's Angels type of guys came in to the rest stop and started harassing this poor truck driver. I mean, one guy picked up his hamburger and took a bite out of it. Other guy was taking French fries from him. Another guy took his coffee and just poured it out on the ground. And the truck driver just sat there. He calmly got up, picked up his check, walked over to the cash register, and paid the bill. The waitress helped him, and there he took off out the door and got in his truck and drove away. So the bikers said to the waitress, that truck driver, he wasn't much of a man, was he? He says, well, she said, I don't know about that, but I know one thing, he sure wasn't much of a truck driver. He actually took that truck and he ran over three motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot. So we can have a lot of misconceptions, amen, about people, about scriptures. And now, real men, we think, are going to fight back, right? But what would Jesus do? I'm certain Jesus would have driven that truck right out of that parking lot and missed every bike. He wouldn't hit any bikes, right? So we have this misconception about manhood. We also have misconceptions about some other things. And we're going to look at these scriptures in Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5, and try to gain some new perspective and insight from them. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you teach us how to live life here. As your people, as your church, as your body, Lord, and you teach us, Lord, how you want us to respond to you. And so these are things, Lord, that I believe your Spirit wants to instruct us on this morning. And so we come and we look at these five verses and we ask, Lord, that you would teach us truths. Teach us your heartbeat. You're speaking. You want to speak to us. You're speaking to us through your word this morning. Lord, speak to us personally and powerfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let's look at verse 1. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we're told if someone is overtaken in a trespass or a sin, they've stumbled, we are to have a heart that seeks to restore that person. How many of you ever heard of the people say, you know, the church, the Christian church or the church, they shoot their wounded? think we have all heard that, haven't we? And oftentimes it's because we're not mindful of this very basic principle. This is the heartbeat of God. This is the heartbeat of our Savior. Now, there are different ways to respond to sin. When other Christians stumble, there are different ways we need to respond to that sin. But let's look at this one, and we'll talk about some of these things. When it says overtaken, that word overtaken refers to someone who's been caught in sin. Caught in sin. They've been overtaken by that sin. The word reminds me of the image of a poor little animal that has fallen into a pit or has its paw trapped in the jaws of a trapper's trap, you know, the steel jaws. And there it is, helplessly caught in that trap. That's what that word overtaken has to do with. So it's not someone who necessarily had evil intentions, but they've been tripped up. They've been trapped by the enemy. They are caught in sin. They're bound there. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to get out. They're helpless. They want to escape, but they just don't know what to do. They've been tempted. They've been seduced. Recently, I visited a man in Theo Lacy Jail up there in Orange, California, and he's been there for 10 months. His crime is blundering by not following some of the legal rules that had he had a good lawyer, the lawyer would have helped him to avoid the problems that have caused him now to be there in jail and to have done things that violated the law. But the man is not an evil person. He's a brother in Christ, went to church every Sunday. He's not an evil person, and he didn't mean to violate laws. He just didn't even know that these were laws that he needed to follow. And the sad thing about it is he's been there for 10 months, and almost no one of his brothers and sisters in Christ have gone to visit him there in jail. And he just feels so alone and so abandoned. That's when we, as the body of Christ, when we have someone that we know, someone that gets caught up, makes a mistake, hey, we all make mistakes, does something wrong. Hey, we all do something wrong. But we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to come alongside of that person, especially if there's repentance and there's brokenness. They're trapped like a poor, helpless animal, trapped in a trap, waiting for someone to please come by and help me in my plight. Now, I also want to say what the scripture is not addressing. It's not addressing a brother or sister who's in blatant, determined a choice to sin, okay? That's not what it's talking about. We're still to seek to restore those people. I think we need to be restorers of anyone. We need to seek. It's just like that lost little sheep. You know, Jesus goes, and his heart is to seek anyone who's involved in anything that is driving them further and further away from him. But there's times when someone makes choices to determine to maintain a lifestyle of sin, determined to participate in sinful things, that we need to just say, you know what, I need to just put some distance between you and me. That's a little different than this scripture. This scripture is not someone that you're going to go out and help and they're going to entangle you possibly into their sin. This is someone who is entangled and trapped like that animal and needs someone to come and help them to become untangled, not someone to come and get tangled up into their plight as well. Okay? Does that make sense? So there's a balance here. So I think of the man, the Apostle Paul. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man who was in blatant sin, going around boasting about it in the city. And he was, quote, a member of the church. And he was having sexual relations with his father's wife. So I guess it would be his mother-in-law, right? Kind of. Anyway, it was obviously kind of like a stepmother. Yeah, stepmother. Thank you. And so that's when Paul said, look, you need to just give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the soul might be saved. And so basically Paul was saying, separate yourself from him and from his determined, blatant, sinful choice. Okay, that's different. That's not that we shouldn't still pray for those people, but there needs to be a separation, a distancing. And what happened was, we find out in 2 Corinthians, that actually caused that person, and I'm sure the prayers of that church as well, to turn from their sins, to repent. And then Paul said what? Now go out and restore that person back into the body of Christ. So you see the heartbeat of God here in these scriptures. What I find interesting about verse 1 is, it gives us a barometer. You know, we all like to have a little gauge. How am I doing in my Christian walk? How spiritual am I? You want to know how spiritual you are? Look at yourself, and not just what you say, but what you think in your heart when somebody else stumbles and falls into sin. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So how we act and how we respond and even how we think in our heart is very important when someone stumbles in sin. You know, it's so easy for us to say, aha, I knew. You know, I thought that person was, you know. It's so easy for us to become judgmental. Now, do you remember the story of Noah? He goes into the ark, right? This is not the one that's parked up there in Westminster. A lot bigger. He goes in the ark, travels on that ark, what, for a year and a half, and it's, you know, raining and flooding, and they're just over, and he finally gets in the ark. What's the first thing the Bible says he does when he gets out of the ark? Does anybody remember? Yeah. Yeah, somebody got a little ahead of. Exactly. Tell us, he plants a vineyard. Evidently, he ran out of wine on the ark. I don't know. But I think it's interesting. The Bible says he plants a vineyard. And so he plants a vineyard. So evidently, this was after a couple of years, maybe. I don't know. But he got a harvest. He made his wine. And he was so happy with this batch of wine, he drank too much and got himself drunk. So drunk that he's laying on the bed. What does it say? Naked, right? Naked as a jaybird. His son Ham comes in and mocks him and goes and tells his two brothers, Shem and Japheth. What do? They come in and literally they get a blanket and they hold the blanket and they walk backwards to cover their father's nakedness on the bed. That's a profound illustration for us. So Noah was caught, kind of like we're talking here, in a weak moment. He'd had a little too much to drink. And he was in a compromising situation. And they went and they walked backwards, covering him in his shame. Why? Because we're told in 1 Peter, love covers a multitude of sin. So the key point is this. Love walks backwards in order to cover the shame and the sin of another. And think about it. Isn't that what you would want? Think about you if you were that woman caught in adultery. Wouldn't you want someone to cover you? Wouldn't you want someone to come alongside of you and embrace you when you felt the most incredible shame in your whole life? Because she was caught in the trap. And Jesus comes and he releases her from that trap and says, go and sin no more. That's the heart that you and I, as followers of Christ, need to have. And why should we have this heart? Well, obviously because it's the Savior's heart. But there's a selfish reason that we're told about in this verse. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And how often we spend time thinking about and talking about the weaknesses of others instead of really thinking about and praying about our own weaknesses and imperfections. Will be so easy to talk about the sins of someone else rather than really spending time before the Lord with our own sins. And that's what Paul is saying. Because you and I are carnal flesh. We have that carnal flesh that desires to we're built up spiritually. We just feel spiritually better than that spiritual pride, you know. I'm better than to have fallen for that stupid trap. I'm better than to have gone there and done that. You know, it's so easy. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 3 and 4. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So deceptive. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone. So our spiritual self, that spiritual part of us that's surrendered to the love of Christ, it says, you know what? I know that I'm just as much of a bonehead and just as stupid as this person. And had I been put in the same circumstances, I might have fallen for that too. And if not that, I've fallen for other things. And so we realize, hey, in my flesh, what does Paul say? In my flesh, nothing good dwells. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that an interesting term? So fulfill the law of Christ. It's also called the royal law in Scripture. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's saying. He said, that's the royal law. Really, if we just did that one thing, I was talking to one of our homestay students the other day, and we were talking about, I really like Christianity. He says, I think if I was to choose, he's from China. He says, I think if I was to choose a religion, it would be Christian, if I even believed in a God. He said, I like it because there's not all these rules and regulations. Because, you know, we pray before our meals and stuff, and do, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff. So I said, there isn't a lot of rules in the sense that we don't have these rules that we have to obey in order to be a Christian. I said, there's something in the Bible called the Ten Commandments, but I said, really, Jesus just reduced it to two rules. And I told him about it. I said, you know, if you just do those things, love God, love others, I said, basically, you fulfill all of what God wants for your life. You know, it really is that simple. We make it so complicated. I love Jesus. So to fulfill the law of Christ is simply to love one another. If we love one another, we're going to bear one another's burdens. So let's talk about burdens. I want to talk about that today. Because every person in this room comes here with burdens. Every one of us have a backpack of burdens that we're shouldering as we've come in here. If you're in the fellowship hall, you got burdens in there too. Right? We all have burdens, don't we? Everybody does. Everyone is weighted down with cares. It may be physical. You may carry a physical burden, a sickness, a disease. It may be finances. It may be pain, some types of suffering. But there are many here today with a physical burden. Or it could be emotional. There's also emotional nature to our burdens. It could be stress. It could be depression or grief, anxiety. It could be a heartache over a loss or financial pressures that are just weighing you down. We carry those burdens. So we have physical burdens. We have emotional burdens. We have spiritual burdens as well. Yeah, spiritual burdens. Satanic attacks. that you could be caught in just this burden of temptation, of sin, or spiritual condemnation. That's a burden. So you could be here with physical or emotional or spiritual burdens today. Or maybe you're here with all three. Yeah. It's a lot of weight. We all have burdens. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward. And we'd love to pray with you for those burdens. So our key point is this. We all have burdens and cares which weight us down. Weight us down. That's why I want to spend the rest of this message this morning just talking about burdens, because I think it's just so universal. We all have burdens. Now, we all might not have riches, but we all have burdens. We might not all have good health, but we all have burdens. We might not all have certain talents, but every one of us, we got burdens, don't we? We might not all own a home, but we have burdens. We might not all have a spouse, but we all have burdens. Heck, you might be here and not have any hair, but you've got burdens, okay? We all have burdens. That's one thing that's common to all of us. A friend of mine was recently sharing about a burden he had in his life. He has his daughter-in-law living with him and his wife, and they're in their retirement years, and they got the three kids, and they've been living with them for 5 years. And recently, this daughter-in-law got laid off from her job. So now it's like, you know, we're trying to get her to the point where she can get out on her own and take care of the kids on their own. So my wife and I can just kind of have our own life. For the last 5 years, it hasn't been that way. And now another setback. That's so discouraging, isn't it? Another setback. And not only that, now we're going to have to kick in even more money to help out financially because she's lost her job, not by any fault of herself. And so, you know, he was sharing that burden. And we were at a lunch meeting, and he was sitting at the table with another group of guys, and one of the guys next to him was sharing about his life, and he said, you know, he said, need you guys to pray for me. He says, my wife is right now just weeks, months at the end of her 25-year battle with brain cancer. She's going to die. It's been so bad, the journey through the years was so bad. We lost our home. We're renting an apartment, and I'm taking care of my special needs adult child, and I can't even work a full-time job because of it. All of a sudden, the burden that my friend had seemed so much lighter, didn't it? Yeah, we all have burdens. I want to talk about three things that we're to do with the burdens we bear. Three things we're to do with the burdens we bear. Number one, some burdens are participatory. Okay, so some burdens we're to participate with. They're meant to be communicated with others. They're actually meant to be shared with others. Some of our burdens need to be shared. When a brother or sister stumbles in sin, that's a burden that needs to be shared. That's a burden that oftentimes we just can't bear alone. I've had many people come and want to talk with me, and Suzette has too, and wanted somebody to somehow shoulder and share that burden, that weight. So we're not to leave that person alone to bear that burden, because every one of us have a heart that's what? Prone to wander. Grief and sorrow are another heavy, heavy load. And it's important to have people that want to help us during those awful times. A time of tragedy, a time of depression, a time of disappointment, a time of loss. That's when we need someone to be there with us. Just like Job, you think of Job, incredible loss, extreme loss. He just needed his friends to be there, and they were there with him for 7 days and didn't even say a word. All they did was sit with him in the ash heap, sharing his burden with him. I love the story of Ruth, don't you? It's one of the best stories in the Bible. It's just incredible. So she was a woman who knew sorrow. She was a woman who was acquainted with deep grief. She understood what it was like to suffer, and she knew what it was like to be an outcast in a foreign land, Ruth. But Ruth also knew something else. She knew what it was like to experience the kindness, the compassion, and the tenderness of somebody else coming alongside of her and saying, I want to help carry your burden with you. I want to help you with this load. Have you ever been in that position where you just needed someone? She's like, Lord, I just need a little help, just a little help. And someone was there for her. It's there told to us in Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face. Picture this in your mind. He's speaking these words of kindness, and she's so grateful. She fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz came alongside of her and said, you have a terribly heavy burden, and I want to help you a little bit with that burden. And we know the story. We know how he commanded his reapers, you know, kind of be a little more sloppy, don't do as good a job, let some fall on purpose so that she might have some to pick up. Yeah. So may I ask you a question to think about? When's the last time someone has come to you in your life and actually demonstrated and given you the compassion of Jesus? When has someone come to you and said, I just want to come alongside of you and help you a little bit with the weight of the burden that you're carrying? And also, we need to ask ourselves, when is the last time we've gone to someone and said, look, you're carrying this weight. I want to help you. It may not be much, but I can do a little bit. I can take a few pounds and walk with you a ways and help carry that burden with you and for you. You know, one of the main reasons that sorrows come into your life and my life is so that we will be able actually to comfort other people. That puts a whole new perspective to things. Now, one of the reasons sorrow comes to our lives is so that you and I will actually be equipped uniquely to help people with their unique struggles or burdens. That's what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So what loss have you experienced in your life, think about it, that is unique? And how can you use the uniqueness of your loss to help comfort someone that has a very similar loss to what you've experienced? Yeah. Because we are uniquely equipped then to minister to these people. They have suffered the same loss as you. Some of you know my story a little bit, how I suffered for 5 years of tremendous depression. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I never understood depression until I went through that dark tunnel. Oh, I knew about it intellectually, but I didn't know about it in reality. And you really can't know about it until you go through some of these really deep, dark struggles. When we really bear the burden in our life, then we have a certain empathy, a certain understanding, a certain experience that's unique. And God can then use that experience so that we can go out and help others that are experiencing what we ourselves needed, the comfort of God. We may be or have been overcome with grief because we lost someone we love. Or we may have been the victim of a physical abuse or emotional abuse or sexual abuse or spiritual abuse. Then you are uniquely equipped to minister to others who are going through those same struggles. Perhaps you're suffering with a heartache that no one even knows about. Or you've experienced the loss of a business, or the loss of a house, or loss of savings. Whatever we've experienced in loss, whatever burdens that we've borne in our lives, we now have a new empathy, a new heart, that's what we're to have, for others. And we can do something if it's as much as writing a card, sending a note of encouragement, a scripture, bringing a meal. Spend some time with them. Just spend some time with them. Pray for them. Spoil them in some special way. That's the way we share those burdens with other people. We're not able to maybe take the backpack off their back, but we can lighten that load a little, can't we? And that's what the scripture's saying. Because many burdens are worth sharing. Now look at verse 5 for a minute. It says, Let each one shall bear his own load. And when you look at verse 2 and then you compare it to verse 5, it appears that verse 2 is contradicting verse 5. So what is the Apostle Paul trying to tell us here? We're to bear one another's burdens. And then he says, well, wait a minute, but each one shall bear his own load. I believe there's another type of burden that he's talking about. So some burdens are participatory, and we are to share those burdens with others. Others are going to come alongside of us and help us with those burdens. But other burdens, there are some burdens that we're going to have to shoulder alone. So number two, some burdens are personal. So number one, some burdens are participatory. Some burdens, number two, they're personal. They're just personal burdens. These are some types of burdens are just the types that no one else can bear that with us. Okay, we got to go through those alone. Could be the consequences of sin. Yeah, we don't like to hear that, do we? Yeah, but sin has consequences. And with those consequences comes a burden. And there is a part of that burden that we're just going to have to share. I mean, we're going to have to carry on our own. We can't share that. No one else can carry that weight of the consequence of sin sometimes. So, the truth be told, sometimes we just make a mess of our lives and we're stuck having to bear a burden for that mess. But some burdens can't be shared with others. The Lord has placed upon our hearts that we're to carry those burdens to the Lord in prayer. So you might be here today and you might have a personal burden. That's a burden that God wants you to personally come before the Lord and in prayer and give it to Him. He says, personally, you need to give it. And so as I was pondering this idea of these three types of burdens that we're going to be discussing today, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, because he illustrates all three types in his life. Some of his burdens were participatory, like we talked about in number one. Paul asked, he implored people to pray for him. He was sharing his burdens with others in the church. Remember, he went around collecting, making this collection of offerings, because he had such a burden for the church in Jerusalem that was suffering in such traumatic loss, kind of like our brothers and sisters in Haiti right now. And he was like, we've got to gather some funds. We've got to gather a collection. They need fresh water. They need medical supplies. They need, you know, tarps. They need just practical stuff. And so he's saying, let's share this burden. I've got to share this burden, and we've got to gather these resources. So they were participatory. But some of Paul's burdens, not all of them were participatory. Some of them were very personal, very personal. He bore a very great pastor's heart for the churches that he had helped establish. And no one could share that burden with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he shares just a little bit. And I love the fact that he shared this with us, because it gives me a whole nother picture of Paul, you know, and admiration for him and for what he suffered for the gospel's sake. In verse 23, it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And then he goes on to share with us a little bit of what he's carried, the burdens he's carried in his life. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, meaning I can't even count them, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. And then he goes on the list. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's almost 200 stripes. That's 195 lashes and scars on his body just on that alone. Can you imagine what this guy looked like? Do you know anybody with 195 scars on their body? And then he goes on, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Well, the number just went up, didn't it? He doesn't even mention how many times he was hit. And then he says, once I was stoned. Oh man, more scars. This guy was a mess. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentile. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. This guy's always in perils. And then he goes on, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and even nakedness. And then he says, besides all the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So after Paul gets through telling us about all the pains and all the perils that he's experienced in ministry, and he talks about all these things, he says, and then to top it off, the worst thing, the most difficult thing, he says, that comes on me daily, my greatest burden is my deep concern for the people of God, for the churches. He says, these are my burdens. These are the burdens I carry. It's a constant weight. It's daily. And it affected him. And it's true, because I remember when I was the associate pastor here, life was good. Life was different. Steve slept at night. Every night. Lori used to be angry at me sometimes. And 30 seconds after my head hit the pillow, gone. You know, she'd be still awake. Remember those days, huh? Then I became the senior pastor. Everything changed. And I had no idea. I was hit blindsided. I had no idea, because Suzette and I were doing a lot of the ministry day to day of the church. the senior pastor at that time, kind of his basic duty that he wanted to do was just come and teach the Bible on Sunday morning. But even though we did a lot of the things, it was different moving from the assistant pastor's office just right next door to the senior pastor office. And it happened immediately. I mean, the day I was placed in with senior pastor. So I understand what Paul is saying. There is a burden that is the senior pastor. You have a personal burden that you will bear, and no one else can bear that for you. It just comes with it. And it comes with that for all of us. I mean, think about it. You become a parent. You've got a burden that nobody else can bear for you. Yeah, I mean, that's a burden. It's a lifetime burden, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, there are just some burdens that are just personal. We're going to have to bear them, and we're going to have to continually go to the Lord daily for the strength to bear those burdens. So that leads us to the third type of burden I want to discuss this morning. Some burdens are participatory, some burdens are personal, and some burdens are to be put aside. To be put aside. They're to be cast off. Psalm 55:22. It tells us, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So Jesus is our great burden bearer. But too often, we want to cling to the burdens, some of those burdens that really need to be like Pilgrim in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. They need to be brought to the cross and laid there. Remember that illustration? And his burden went rolling down the hill. Those are some burdens. They're just burdens that we need to cast off. We need to give them to the Lord. We need to put them aside into his arms. They're burdens that Jesus himself wants to carry. He wants to carry those. But will we let him do that for us? Too often we hang on to those burdens. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then, of course, those words we know, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you might be here today and you might say, you know what? I've got a burden in my life that I just feel like I can't bear. Maybe you're not supposed to be bearing that. Maybe that's something you need to give to the Lord. You might wonder, can I face another day? Jesus says, here's my shoulders. Put the backpack on me. I can imagine that most people here could carry a 10-pound sack of sugar upstairs to the second floor. Most people. Some people here could probably carry a 100-pound sack of sugar up the stairs to the second story. Some of us would drag that 100-pound sack up. But there's none of us here that could carry a 1,000-pound sack of sugar up those stairs. We're not able. We're not able. We're not made to carry that. We're not built to carry that. So how heavy is your burden today? Is it 10 pounds? 100 pounds? Maybe it's 1,000 pounds. So what happens when we cast our burdens upon the Lord? Two things. One, the Lord lifts our burden from us. He will lift our burden from us. That's what happens. Don't you love it? When you're sick, you pray, or you come forward and you have the elders pray for you. They anoint you with oil, and you get healed. It's like, yes, my burden is gone. He healed me. You know? Or you pray, you've got a financial miracle you need, and God brings that financial miracle. It's like I cast that burden on the Lord, and he answered it, and boom, it just went away. It's like, wow, that's so awesome. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. But what happens when we cast our burden upon the Lord and he doesn't take it away? What then? Because that happens, you know. Yeah, it does. Number two, when we cast our burdens upon the Lord, either number one, he lifts our burden from us, or number two, the Lord lifts us up. That's what it means in Psalm 55:22. He shall sustain you. Let's say that together. He shall sustain you. That's what he's trying to tell us. Jesus will actually pick us up with our burden, and he will carry us. We love that poem. You remember that famous poem? We don't hear it too much anymore. Footprints in the sand, you know? And it's like, okay, there was only one set of footprints. Why? Footprints. Why? Because I was carrying you and your burden. I held you. Yeah. So he says, if you cast your burdens upon me, I will either take them from you and carry them for you, or I will literally pick you up with your burden and carry you that way. But either way, he will carry us. Remember, the Apostle Paul told us that he prayed three times that the Lord would relieve him from the burden, from the attack of the enemy that was upon him in 2 Corinthians 12. And what did the Lord answer him by saying? He didn't say, I was going to take this burden from you. He says, I will carry you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when you're too weak to carry that load, don't worry, because I'm going to come alongside of you and I'm going to pick you and that burden up, and I will carry you through. You will make it to the other side. So grace, my grace, what is grace? Grace is God's hands that come and pick us up when we fall. Grace is God's strength that says, I'm going to carry you, burden and all. We are going to make it together in this life. That's God's grace. And he promises to do that for us. And sadly, there are some people that get bitter toward God because of the burdens they carry. And some of those burdens, they were to participate with and share those burdens with others. And others were to come alongside of them and help them to bear it. Some of those burdens were personal, and they were to bear that weight. And some of those burdens, they were to cast upon the Lord, and he would help them, sustain them, and carry them and shoulder them in life. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I read a story about a man who was walking down the street, and he had a big old sack of potatoes on his back. And this guy pulled over in a truck, and he said, hey, you want a ride? And he said, sure. He said, well, jump in. So he jumped in the truck, a sack of potatoes and all, and he sat down. They're driving along, and pretty soon the driver thought, take that sack off your shoulders and put it on the floor. And the man looked at him and says, no, sir. He says, it's enough that you would pick me up and not have me walk down that road. There's no way I would make you carry this sack of potatoes also. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. So you may have a sack of taters on your back, and the Lord's saying, hey, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? So it may be something that we're to participate with. It may be something that's personal that you have, or it may be something you just need to cast on the Lord. But the Lord promises he will sustain you. Let's stand. So, Lord, today we want to practice what I've been preaching. Lord, there's some here with burdens that we need to just participate with. We need to come alongside and help someone to shoulder. There may be some here with personal burdens that just aren't even to be shared, but we know that weight. We just need to come to you and ask you, Lord, to encourage us during that time. And there may be some here today that are saying, you know what? I need to cast this on the Lord. And I don't know how. I need help. I need to give this burden to to God. And so I want to invite you here to the front, to the altar, with your burden. Just like Pilgrim came to the cross and he laid his burden down at the cross and it rolled down the hill. I want to encourage you during this last song, if you have a burden that you're carrying today, you have a weight, and you say, you know what, I need to come as an act of a symbolizing of my faith and my determination that I need help to share this burden, the weight of it. I need to help to just cast this off, or I'm just laying this down at the Savior's feet. I want to invite you forward to the altar this morning as we close.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.